Good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's about that time. 2016 is drawing to a close, and an estimated 1 in 3 Americans will make a New Year's resolution about their money. Yes, if it's not weight loss, it's money. And joining me this morning, Melissa Register. She's Vice President and Senior Wealth Planner for Fifth Third Private Bank. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Tawanda. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Taxes. Everybody hates it, but they come every year, don't they?
They absolutely do.
So tell me about Fifth Third's year-end tax planning and charitable giving guidelines.
So to support year-end planning success, Fifth Third recently released digital guides with strategies for individuals, families, business owners, to consider in preparation for tax season. Mm-hmm. And we've created these internally with financial experts such as myself, and we've tried to include timely information on changes in government and tax policies, changes that could impact our clients' individual planning success and needs. And we think it's a really great resource to start discussions with your financial advisors or wealth management advisors. And that's why we've made it available at 53.com.
All right. All right. That's fantastic. What are 3 steps that people can take today to improve their finances for tax season?
Well, you know, to your point, nobody likes to think about taxes, of course, but year end is a great time to start thinking about it in between all of the holiday festivities. Mm-hmm. So for clients that have taxable investment accounts, this is usually the time of year that they'll be talking to us about potentially selling stocks that are at a loss. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a way to offset potential taxable income, it's a good time to look at rebalancing your portfolio and see if we can take advantage of some of those losses to reduce your taxes and your bill for next year. It's also a good time to talk about your overall investment strategy. So what is the next year going to look like? What kind of income and expenses might you expect? And then what can we do ahead of time to plan for that? Mm-hmm. And it's also a really great time of year to talk about charitable planning. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things I really love to talk about with my clients. When the family gets together, I have many clients that have a donor advised fund in the name of their family, or even just making an individual gift to charities that are important to them. And that's something that you can really get everyone involved with, from little ones up to grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, and so interesting, because December is the most charitable month in the entire year. People give more money in December than any other time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think it's a combination of tax planning and also just, you know, I'm an optimist, the holiday spirit, and people wanting to give back to their communities.
Are we going to have a lot of changes for the 2016 tax season?
Well, I think 2016's laws and rates are kind of baked in. Where we mm-hmm. might see changes coming up are in 2017.
Exactly.
And that's why it's so incredibly important to be in touch with your financial advisors, with your accountants, and people like myself that find this exciting and want to keep up to date on all of the changes that could be coming. Mm-hmm. So obviously we had a very, let's say, unique and interesting election cycle.
Yes.
And, you know, we heard a lot of potential changes to tax laws. One thing that I would stress, because clients will often ask, well, you know, what is the impact of the presidential election going to be? Well, you know, we want people to keep in mind that although, you know, presidents and presidential candidates will usually introduce their own tax proposals, ultimately it's Congress that's
exactly
driving that bus.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a pretty good sense based on the House Republican plan that was presented this past summer as far as the potential changes that we might see.
Mm-hmm.
So that could include reduction in income tax rates and a reduction in the number of brackets, which we hope is actually going to make things easier for our clients. But conversely, we might also see a decrease in available deductions.
So yeah.
It's going to be very person by person as to what the impact is going to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're going to have to wait and see on that one. Also, you know, any tips on folks that's going into the new year in retirement planning?
Well, I think, number one, it's the when. What do we see a potential retirement looking like? So mm-hmm. this is a conversation that I have with my clients all the time. So, you know, in an ideal world, at what age would you like to retire? What do you think your expenses might be then? And you know, compare that to what they are now. And so we'll put together a comprehensive plan that helps them figure out essentially what's that number that you need to retire with, mm-hmm. and what is that going to look like as far as a combination of Social Security and retirement accounts, pensions and mm-hmm. investment accounts. So it's going to be, it's usually not going to be all one thing. It's going to be a combination of them. And of course, you know, taxes are always going to impact those.
And Melissa, for folks that, you know, 30s, 40s, sometimes 50s who haven't even started, it's never too late, right?
It is never too late. That's mm-hmm. absolutely right. It's the power of compounding interest mm-hmm. and tax deferral and all of these wonderful things that even at a later age, just putting aside money, especially into tax-deferred plans like IRAs and 401ks, is going to have a significant impact on retirement success. So absolutely not. Never too late.
All right. All right. Tell folks where they can go to get more information.
Well, they can go to our website at www.53.com/wealthmanagement. That's www.53.com. And there they can also find information about how to reach out to a local Fifth Third wealth management advisor or investment executive who can tell them more.
All right. Thank you so much. And Happy New Year, Melissa Register, Vice President and Senior Wealth Planner for Fifth Third Private Bank. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tawanda.
And thank you for coming back. I'm Twanda Black. And on yesterday, January 7th, the U.S. Army All-American Bowl kicked off at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. And joining me, Sergeant Jonathan Crespo. He's been on the tour talking about this bowl and the leadership in this bowl for a few months now. How are you this morning, Jonathan?
I'm great. How are you?
I am wonderful. Tell us about, because this is a historical game. How long have you been doing the U.S. Army All-American Bowl?
I have been working on it since September, but the Army has been the sponsor since 2002.
Mm.
So they've been doing this quite a while.
Yeah, yeah. So what is it about the American Bowl? Who plays? Where do you get the teams? How does it all happen?
So the U.S. Army All-American Bowl, it's 100 of the top football players in the country.
Wow.
So we actually have selection tour teams go out and mm-hmm. go to each of these high schools and do presentations for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the marching band. There's 125 marching band members.
Wow.
And we go to their schools as well to present to them.
So how do you choose the players?
So the football players are chosen based on their scout rankings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just how they're ranked nationally. And then as well as the characteristics that they embody, such as loyalty, duty, integrity, things like that. And then the marching band members, they actually submit videos of themselves marching and playing, and they have recommendations from the band director. So it's quite the process.
That's nice. I wish I was out there when I was in band like 30 years ago.
What did you play?
I played clarinet and I played bassoon.
Awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. I was a band child, I tell you. So a lot of activities around the Army All-American Bowl. Talk about what happens pre-bowl.
So pre-bowl, we have a whole event set up out there. We have all these what we call national asset trailers,
mm-hmm.
and people can actually go there and interact with different Army experiences, get information, play fun games and things like that. And get to interact with soldiers, get to ask them questions that they might have.
I love that. I love that. I did that for my son when he was talking about military. We were, you know, didn't know which branch and looking at, and I had to find him a mentor. So you are an Army soldier mentor. So what does that mean?
So as soldier mentors, we're here to do just that, provide mentorship to the band members and mm-hmm. the football players. And then even though we may not be directly interacting with them every second, because, you know, they have practice mm-hmm. and rehearsals to go through, we're there to kind of show them the Army values and the Army way. So we're there as more of try to be positive role models for these young students as they enter adulthood.
So let me ask you this, though. considering that this is the U.S. Army All-American Bowl, you're mentoring, you're having soldier mentoring, you're pairing up kids with soldiers, and they're asking questions. Is it sort of a recruiting thing or no?
So we're not directly trying to recruit mm-hmm. any of the band members or the football players.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is show to the American public that there's a direct correlation between the values and responsible for success in football
mm-hmm.
and in the Army. And then also, it is high school football players. So what that enables us to do is get the word out to our demographic, which would be high school and college people about the Army.
Mm-hmm. I was just with a group of veterans, and we were kind of chuckling about the days when they went in, and they're in their 80s, 70s, 80s, you know, how anybody could go in. And now the Army is very selective about who they have into their service, correct?
Definitely. We were actually just talking with one of our senior leaders yesterday, and he was telling us that only 23% of Americans are even eligible to enlist. And then of that, as you know, 1% or even less actually end up joining. So the Army is looking for the best and the brightest. And it's definitely not a last resort anymore.
Absolutely.
It's a tool to achieve what you want to do.
Absolutely.
And be able to serve at the same time. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, as an Army mom, I definitely understand that and the values. And it's funny because you get to see, and I come from a military family, but firsthand how the values of the Army has changed my son.
Oh, yes, definitely. And myself as well. I've been in the Army 7 years now,
mm-hmm.
and my mom definitely can tell when I go home. She's like, "You're not the same person," but I promise that's a good thing.
It really is a good thing. It really is a good thing. You look at how, and again, you know, they're not just taking, it's not a last resort anymore. The fields are so highly skilled, and technology and everything within the Army today.
Definitely. And the Army is definitely targeting more of people with STEM degrees, in the medical field,
mm-hmm.
things like that, because the Army is always trying to be on the cutting edge of technology, the latest advances in technology and medical developments and things like that.
Absolutely. So, you know, you look at a group of band members, football players, and how you choose them, they must embody the Army values, correct?
Yes. Most definitely, yeah. They can't just be a good football player. They can't just be a good musician or color guard member. They have to embody the same characteristics that we hold very dear.
So in all of that, how do you think that the game is helping to help develop the leaders of tomorrow? Because these are all our leaders of tomorrow, these high school kids, college kids,
right.
All leaders of tomorrow.
I think the way that it's helping them is, one, to give them the opportunity to lead. So a lot of times, they're just used to taking direction, things
mm-hmm.
like that. But here we're treating them like adults and giving them tasks to complete, and they're going out there and doing it. And and a lot of these students, they're giving back in their community as well. So we're showing that's something that's very important.
It really is. It really is. As well, you know, parents getting the kids out at an early age to teach them about community and how to give back. We're not going to tell you who won the game, but we'll tell you where you can go to get more information, because the U.S. Army All-American Bowl happens every year. You may want your kid to be involved next year or the year after. Are they all juniors, seniors, or is it freshmen? What ages does it start?
They are all seniors.
All
so
seniors.
Some of them will actually start their process to play in this game or to perform in this game
mm-hmm.
Late in their junior year. But when they come here, they are all seniors.
Okay.
So a lot of them are committed to schools already or going off and doing other things after they graduate. So
where can they go to get more information on the U.S. Army All-American Bowl?
They can go to goarmy.com/All-American Bowl.
All right. Looking forward to it. Mm-hmm.
They can also find it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you search Army All-American Bowl or use the hashtag Army Bowl, you should definitely find some cool stuff.
All right, Staff Sergeant Jonathan Crespo, thank you so much for joining us and for this awesome U.S. Army All-American Bowl. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.